friends, what a day to come back from vacation. I see the building is still standing, so you all did fine without me for a week. But I wrote most of this sermon before I left, but it's really hard for pastors to work ahead, for so much can happen in a week. And they tell us in seminary, you read scripture in one hand and the newspaper in the other, and sermons should be this magical combination of the two of those things. But what a week, especially the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. So much to say, and where to start. These texts are so good. Jill muttered they're a tongue twister, and that's absolutely true. Paul has this wrestling of what is good and the sin that entraps us, ensnares us. We want to do what is good, and yet those Cheetos definitely have an addictive quality to them. We cannot help ourselves. We're stuck in so many ways. And so we need God's help. Thank goodness for a liturgy that begins with confession and forgiveness, and a theology that reminds us it is not up to us. For God is for us. Jesus even names this trap. John the Baptist was too much fire and boldness, and Jesus was a softy and a glutton. We can't always get what we want, especially when we have loads of expectation for what we think we need out of a Savior. As Jesus reminds us, at the end of the day, the foolishness of God is the most important wisdom we need. We cannot attain love and acceptance on our own, so God's mercy and compassion will always win out. And at the end of this gospel text, we hear this promise to those who are weary and hungry and grieving and trampled upon, that there will be rest, and we are not alone. You know, all of this gives me great comfort as we sit in the messy middle, the despair and the joy all mixed together, especially on today, July 5th. I grew up in a small Ohio town, and I have many good, fond memories of a 4th of July cookout with watermelon and corn on a cob and those sparklers that would burn your fingers. I think they might be outlawed now, but you know, the metal ones. And then you stick them in a coffee can. When you're done. My grandfathers on both sides of my family served in military during the wars. My dad is retired Army National Guard. I still enjoy a good historical fiction novel, especially if it's about the Revolutionary War. And yet, I will be honest, in these days, it's a little more challenging to feel patriotic. I feel sad and torn between what is good and the unveiling of our complicated history, and also what we are experiencing right now. But thankfully, it's not up to CJ. We are a part of this faith tradition that wrestles with all of these things too. We have a whole treasure trove of documents, studies, and statements on important issues, including faith and public life. In 2020, the ELCA Church Council passed this social message entitled Government and Civic Engagement in the United States. Discipleship in a democracy. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I can print it or email it to you later. It's 24 pages. Gotta love a Lutheran study. But I want to ground us in this short snippet. The statement writes, taking partisan stances is not the church's role, but politics itself has to do with negotiating how the benefits and burdens of living in a society are shared. Politics is the key to self-governance. To understand how important government is, consider life without safety and services that a just and well-functioning government typically provides. So if we think about our balloon blessing, here at the local level, consider drinking water without purification, human sewage without treatment, resources and packaging for consumption without garbage removal. I think Arlington has actually kind of experienced this, right? Our garbage removal has been in flux. But we need these things at our local level, right? childhood without schools. At the state level, consider travel without highways or trains, healthcare without regulation, wildfires without firefighters, natural spaces without protection, education without state universities. And I know you all are loyal to specific Virginia ones. At the federal level, consider old age without some support, social support like security, Social Security, or Medicare, food without inspection, drugs without certification of safety and effectiveness, poverty without some form of income support, job training, agriculture without price supports or subsidies, flying without air traffic control, banking without deposit insurance or regulations, natural disasters without aid for rescue or reconstruction, so many more things. Many people experience the benefits to the point where they're taken for granted, and others experience the harm that results when government fails. We know this from the residents of Flint, Michigan, or New Orleans, or coastal New Jersey with natural disaster relief or access to clean water. Other points to times when government inflicts suffering on immigrants or Black women and men die at the hands of law enforcement when our government violates civil liberties. But the ELCA social teaching, consistent with classic Lutheran thought, recognizes the ambiguity that civil government at all levels, can be a force for good or for evil. And most accurately, it's some combination of both. This realistic view of government holds these things in tension. For the failures of our shared political life, with the recognition that God intends for government to protect all and to enable human societies to flourish. This realistic view establishes a fruitful middle ground between idolatrous endorsement of government and its policies or cynical rejection of all the good it provides. Our church shares that all residents of the United States have a responsibility to make the government function well, not to abandon our democracy, but to engage it in a spirit of robust civic duty. For as Lutherans, this is lived out as a calling from God, a part of our discipleship described in baptismal promises. So good. And I'm sure, hopefully, this resonates for so many of you as you spend your day jobs in these places, participating and supporting and helping shape this government system to reflect the values that we hold dear: justice and mercy, love and care. We are a young nation, 6 generations, 250 years, and we are still such an experiment. When a prominent historian was recently asked which one of our national documents she thought was the most important, she said the Gettysburg Address. And the line she specifically referenced was, "A new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all are created equal." She explained that by the time of the Civil War, President Lincoln realized our founding documents had set forth the ideals of liberty and freedom, but they had never been fully realized. And so at that juncture in our nation's history, Lincoln reminded the nation that these ideals were still propositions. There's still much work to do. And so, dear ones, on this day, July 5th, in the spirit of Abraham Lincoln, and a little bit of Martin Luther, and Jesus, and John the Baptist, and Paul, I want to invite us to do a little reflection together. I put questions in the bulletin today, page 29, the very last page, well, towards the end of the bulletin. There's a list of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 5 questions. I want you just to turn to someone next to you, and we're going to take like 4 minutes to reflect on these questions. And here are the questions. I invite you to share something you love about where you live, about your country. Share something that causes you to worry about your country. Share a hope you have for your country. What does it mean to celebrate a promise, a proposition that is real and yet unfolding? And what does it mean for us as Lutherans to be in this place of the already, but not yet? So, find someone to sit next to you, share a little bit, and I'll bring us back together. For those of you online, these are also in your bulletin on the PDF. So reflect. Can I join you? Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking a little time to reflect. I invite us to close with this prayer. Dear God, creator of all good things, we give you thanks for all the people who have worked hard to make this country we call home a better place. We also give thanks for all the countries around the world that countless other people call home. We know you are good to all, not just to one country or nation. As we continue to navigate these difficult political times, help us to remain grounded in your truths, especially to care for our neighbor. Give us strength and courage to ensure that all people are heard, cared for, and loved. Help us sort out fact from fiction and be bold in our convictions. And finally, give us hope, for we know that you, with you, all things are possible. Amen. Thanks be to God.